What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I'm your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by John Daigle of 4for4 Football. He can be found on Twitter at NotJDaigle. John, how are you? How was the Fantasy Football Expo, my friend?
I think you can tell how the expo is by how scratchy my voice still is. At my age, anytime you get in one of those larger rooms and then you happen to know and want to talk to also everyone there, it's just everyone screaming of each other, lots of hugs. It was an amazing, amazing time. But also at those events, everything is still happening, right? Like football does not stop just because I'm having fun in my life. So I now got back late Sunday night. I had to catch up on all the preseason games, some first string usage, and I'm throwing it on Twitter and writing about it right now. So yeah, it didn't stop. I'll say that.
I was about to say, like, I had that thought as I was watching the preseason games this weekend of like on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? I was like, man, the people at the expo are going to have a lot of work to do when they come back around on Monday morning.
It hit different too. Seeing it, it was truly like, oh, it's here. Like, there's no more teasing it. Like, no more scheduled midnight tweets. Oh, football's 30 days away like reporters do. No, it's actually here now.
Yes, and I will say too, like in Michigan where I'm at, the weather dipped a little bit here this weekend and it was raining. Like, so it felt like a fall day. And I like, I had to go put on pants, you know, rather than shorts. And like, it just felt like this is a football kind of day. Like, we are getting close. Now, I'm not ready for the warm weather to go away because, again, I'm in Michigan and the winters are absolutely abysmal and terrible. Yep. Not ready for that, but it did feel like we are absolutely here. All right, we got a mock draft here today on today's podcast. I'm excited to get into this, but before we do, we got some news items to run through from those preseason games and, of course, the fantasy fallout from them. So let's zip through these. Drake London suffered a knee injury in Friday's preseason game and is expected to miss all of practice this week. Now, from all indications from Arthur Smith, this sounds like a minor injury. So we're not going to, at this point, we're not expecting Drake London to miss any NFL regular season action. At his current ADP, we shouldn't see that dip at all. He should be a fine investment at that point. Robert Tonyan and Christian Watson came off of the PUP for the Green Bay Packers. So we're going to see them return to practice here. They're on track to play in week one. Zach Wilson suffered a bone bruise, and if you were watching that play or if you saw the replay of it, it did not look like a bone bruise. It looked like a lot worse than that in the Jets preseason game and is having surgery to determine the severity of the meniscus and what happened with the meniscus there. So as we're recording this early on Monday morning, we do not know yet what happened here with Zach Wilson. But I do want to ask you, John, if, of course, and I think for right now, if we expect Zach Wilson maybe to miss 1-2 games, like that's not going to affect the ADP here of the rest of the Jets players. But if Zach Wilson does come out, and we really don't hope for this to happen, but if it does come out that the meniscus is a more significant injury than we expected, he's going to miss maybe the majority of the season. What does this do for you for the ADP of the players and rankings of Breece Hall, you know, Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson? Is that gonna drastically affect where you rank these guys going from Zach Wilson to potentially Joe Flacco?
Unlike a lot of people, I have admittedly been down on the Jets receivers anyhow. The wide receiver one, for instance, for the Jets last year, averaged across the board in 17 games, a wide receiver 29 finish. They really struggled to get there. We also know Elijah Moore's horrendous splits whenever Corey Davis was available, and only then when Davis got injured did Elijah Moore break out. We also saw in the Jets' first preseason game that Garrett Wilson only played one first-string snap with Zach Wilson in the first-string offense. Not to say he won't find his way into the lineup, but remember, they gave Braxton Berrios $12 million on a multi-year deal. Like, they like what Berrios, who averaged 9 targets per game in Jamison Crowder's absence to close the year, brings to the table as a slot/gadget receiver. And so I have admittedly found it hard, even for Elijah Moore, who I love as a player, to click his ADP at that position, because no one can tell me that Elijah Moore won't outscore, for instance, Devonta Smith, Alan Lazard, Kadarius Toney, everyone he's going ahead of. Like, this year's wide receivers, and this is a bigger conversation. I know we're trying to move on, so I won't get into all of it, but this year's wide receiver core from wide receiver 8 to wide receiver 25, you could argue are all the same guys. And sure, so the way I play the board in drafts is I let them fall to me rather than pretending to know their situations. And so I don't admittedly have much Elijah Moore, and I don't think it would change with Joe Flacco. I'm not even arguing Joe Flacco would be a worse quarterback. We've seen in the past from 11 personnel in particular, he still launches the ball, and he may actually be able to sustain two wide receivers. And so right now for me, I don't mind taking like a large dip on Garrett Wilson, but no one's giving him a dip still. He's still going eighth, ninth round. And so it's not really a spot where I'm investing in either, to be honest.
I'm kind of in that same boat where if we did go from, you know, Zach Wilson to Joe Flacco, it would tick them down a couple spots in rankings. I'm not going to dramatically plummet them, you know, like Breece Hall 10 spots down in the rankings. I think it would just affect that upside, because part of the conversation with Garrett Wilson with Elijah Moore is, well, they could be great fantasy players if Zach Wilson takes a major leap forward. With Joe Flacco coming in, we know what Joe Flacco is, right? Flacco is not going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL this year. So that at least affects the upside. I think it's going to move them down the rankings just a little bit, but it's not going to be something where I'm dramatically plummeting them. And also, I really didn't have a ton of exposure to them to begin with, just like you. Go ahead.
Michael Carter's the real winner here, no matter what.
I would say
what.
That too. Yep.
Because the ADP is egregious. We know it's an ambiguous situation, no matter how much even I like Breece Hall's profile. But the argument is Carter's going in the 12th round, even though we don't know what the situation is. And Breece Hall instead is getting jammed up to the fourth round. And so knowing that even in the first preseason game, Breece Hall and Carter split snaps 10 each with 20 first string snaps. So take the ADP dip, take the player in an unknown situation compared to the guy going 7-8 rounds ahead of him.
Yep. All right, Joe Burrow returned to Bengals practice on Saturday. And finally here, Elijah Mitchell is expected to sit out the entire preseason dealing with, I believe off the top of my head, a hamstring injury. So we're looking at Elijah Mitchell, a guy who we had injury concerns going into the year, already dealing with something here, not going to see him here in the preseason, makes his ADP a little bit more risky there as a top borderline top 20 running back. All right, remember, we got the pristine auction giveaway going on here for the month of August. That is a Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey. To enter into this giveaway, you can find all the details over at theffplaybook.com/giveaway. Theffplaybook.com/giveaway for your chance to win a Dak Prescott signed Dallas Cowboys jersey. All right, John, let's get into the mock draft here today. We have a half PPR mock draft over on Sleeper. 12 team, one quarterback, two running back, three wide receivers, a tight end, two flex spots. We got six bench spots here, no defense, no kicker. Not here today, and I'm drafting from the 5 spot. You're drafting from the 9 spot. Are we ready to get going?
I purposely gave myself one of the hardest positions because nothing in life comes easy. So, yes, let's do this.
He's a glutton for punishment. All right, let's kick it off here. All right, we are now rolling here. All right, we got Christian McCaffrey going at the 1-1. Derrick Henry over at the 1-2. Jonathan Taylor at the 1-3. Cooper Kupp at the 1-4. I'm on the clock at the 1-5. I will say this too. I'm able to list out in that first round some of the players here that are going as we move forward throughout the mock draft. I will not be able to recap every pick. So if you're listening over on the podcast, we're going to explain our thoughts. We're going to explain our picks here. But if you want to see the entire draft board, you can go over and watch this over on youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook. While you're there, hit the like button and subscribe button as well. All right, here at the 1-5, I've got a couple of options that I can go with. Cooper Kupp off the board. So we're looking at that top tier wide receivers there with Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase still on the board. Otherwise, guys like Austin Eckler are still there. Dalvin Cook is available as well. Joe Mixon. Those the three options that I'm really considering here are Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, and Justin Jefferson. It's all dependent upon which way I want to build my team. This is the time for testing out some different strategies, right? We still got a couple weeks before actual drafts are happening typically. So I'm going to go here with Justin Jefferson. I'm going to see what my team looks like with going that top tier wide receiver in the first round. See if I can get one of these other running backs to fall to me there at the 2-8 and maybe double dip at the 2-8 and the 3-5. Austin Eckler off the board right after Jamar Chase, Dalvin Cook. You are now on the clock at the 1-9. What are your thoughts here?
If Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, Jamar Chase are still on the board, that's usually the way I lean here, especially if Eckler and Cook, who are also my RB3 and RB4, I believe, are off the board. Yes, I lean wide receiver. So I'm actually going to go Stephon Diggs over Davante Adams. And then on the comeback, because team 10, 11, or 12 right now, as you're about to mention, are going heavy running back, I have a choice between Aaron Jones, Kamara, Barkley. And this range, if I start one of the top five receivers, because again, I truly believe there's a massive dip off after Davante Adams, who is my wide receiver 5. I don't mind CeeDee Lamb, so we could hammer wide receivers here, but I also like to play the anchor RB strategy at the end. And I will go Saquon Barkley in this spot. and then likely hammer wide receivers moving on.
All right, so we had Stephon Diggs there at the 1-9 go for your team, then Joe Mixon, Najee Harris, Nick Chubb, Travis Kelce at the 2-1, then Devontae Adams, DeAndre Swift, and then you took Barkley there at the 2-4. Let's talk about that difference there with Stephon Diggs over Devontae Adams. Now, I will say this, the top five wide receivers in, you know, depending on who you ask in the industry, the rankings are going to be some variation of Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, and Devontae Adams. Roll those guys into a, you know, put them all and roll it out. Whatever order comes out, I don't think that you're going to get some major arguments there. But talk to me about going Stephon Diggs over Devontae Adams while I'm on the clock here at the 2-8.
I have Diggs confidently as my wide receiver 3, a few spots ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. I have Dalvin Cook ahead of Ja'Marr Chase in the first round too. And 2 spots may not sound like a lot, but when it's in the first round and everyone's taking those other 2 players, it makes a big difference. For me, it's very easy to see what happens. Stephon Diggs didn't have a ceiling last year. And as we know in fantasy football, you and I will always have jobs because everyone's drafts last year stats. But even in finishing as the wide receiver 10 in fantasy points per game last year and being drafted in the mid, early first round, remember, he was improperly being drafted in that range to sustain the stats that were not sustainable from years past and leading the entire league in targets, catches, and receiving yards. So now he's being knocked because of what we knew he basically couldn't do again. And what happened actually quietly behind the scenes last year, yes, as I mentioned, the production wasn't there as a player we thought had a top 3-2 ceiling, but still 9.7 targets per game, led the entire league in end zone targets with 22, and his rate of targets 20-plus yards downfield, which, as we know, includes the deep ball and means those are money targets, especially for a player who can actually haul them in and has an accurate quarterback like this situation was Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. His rate of targets actually went up from 9% in that record-breaking year to 17%. And yet, I said all that, and the production didn't follow. So right now, he's actually being discounted inappropriately. And so I am not falling for the discount that everyone's giving him. And I'm telling you, this player is still a top 3 wide receiver with the wide receiver overall 1 outcome in him.
All right, so that was then Saquon Barkley there at the 2-4, CeeDee Lamb, Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara. At the 2-8, I went with Ezekiel Elliott there. I still have Zeke as a top 12 running back on the year. He was the highest rated player for me still available at that point. At the 3-5, I just went with T. Higgins here as the clock was coming to an end. T. Higgins for me, still a top 12 wide receiver. Now, Joe Burrow returning to practice might not be at 100%, but I still think that he's got, you know, plenty of time to get ready before the start of the season. T. Higgins also working his way back. I have zero concerns about Higgins here this year, fighting for targets with Ja'Marr Chase. I think that it is Chase, it's Higgins here, and the touchdown upside is 100% there for Higgins to reach double-digit touchdowns again this season. T. Higgins at the 3-5 there to pair with Justin Jefferson. I love that start to this draft. All right, you are now on the clock here at the 3-9. Where are we going?
Kyle Pitts is good value, but he went a few spots before me, so I always look and see if Pitts is available in the third round. But right now, we have nearly reached the running back dead zone. I think it falls off after Travis Etienne and Breece Hall, but that also with an anchor RB approach is what I'm doing right here. I don't want to grab Etienne or Hall here, so I'm instead going to go Michael Pittman, who, as we know, wide receiver 7 in his first 8 games when Carson Wentz was an actual NFL quarterback. And then when Carson Wentz went back to being his usual career, dropped to the wide receiver 30 in the second half of the season. So Pittman showed us he has a top 10 ceiling. And that's the kind of players I want to chase, especially with significantly better quarterback play this year with Matt Ryan.
T. Higgins and Michael Pittman Jr. are back-to-back in my rankings there. Pittman was a little bit further down the board in ADP there, so went with Higgins, but was maybe rolling the dice that Pittman would make it back to me. Did not. I figured that he would go in between the picks here. Michael Pittman Jr., I love that selection here. One of the best values, I think, in fantasy football this year. We got Cam Akers, George Kittle, Justin Herbert, David Montgomery, Terry McLaurin, Patrick Mahomes off the board around that turn. You're back on the clock here at the 4-4.
I love getting Darren Waller or George Kittle in the 4th or 5th round. That's the way I've been playing drafts this year. That's why I don't have much Pitts, because especially in tight end premium leagues, he goes in the middle of the second round turn, and then Kittle and Waller fall behind him nearly 2 rounds later. And that's the way I play the position, because no one can tell me, you know, we simulate this 10 times, that Kyle Pitts outscores both Kittle and Waller, hell, even 6 times, honestly, because we're so much further down on the Falcons offense than we are both the Raiders and 49ers. And so I do like getting them, and Waller's still here. But I mentioned the tier drop off. Travis Etienne also came back to me, and this is a player that usually goes in the 3rd round. So I'm going to take the mistake of the computer AI got it wrong, and I'm instead going with ETN here.
It is time to take playing fantasy football to the next level by going over to Prize Picks and getting involved in some NFL future props for this season. Getting started is super easy. Head over to prizepicks.com and sign up with the promo code FFPlaybook. It's going to get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Then you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. After watching some preseason action this past weekend, I wanted to get involved in some over-unders, so I pulled open the Prize Picks app and was surprised to see some of these lines in the rushing yards category. Ezekiel Elliott currently has a line of 875.5 rushing yards. Did you know that he's never finished with less than 979 yards in a season? And yes, that includes the year that he played in just 10 games. Even last year, with the partially torn PCL, he finished with 1,002 yards. I'm comfortably selecting the over here. The second player that stood out to me is James Conner's rushing yard prop of 825.5. Last season, Conner was awesome for fantasy football because of his touchdown totals, but he only put up 752 rushing yards. He's likely to miss time yet again with an injury at some point this season, and that's going to affect his ability to reach that projected threshold. I'm comfortably taking the under here. From there, it's just a few clicks and you're ready to roll for 2022. Get involved in the incredibly easy way to play some over-unders and the opportunity to win 10 times on any entry over at prizepicks.com with the code FFPlaybook. Again, that's the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. I love that selection there. And especially too, I wanted to double back on your conversation there of the running back dead zone. And I do agree with this. As we get into this range, the more time that passes, I am becoming less and less interested in this tier of running backs, right? You're talking about Cam Akers here, who went at the 310, is splitting reps evenly in Rams training camp with Daryl Henderson. David Montgomery, he's going to see Khalil Herbert and maybe even Tristan Ebner involved. Breece Hall, we just talked about the state of the offense. Then we're into Antonio Gibson. Josh Jacobs, right? Like, then J.K. Dobbins, Elijah Mitchell with the injury history. Man, a lot of these running backs are just guys that I am not interested in selecting. I think you can bypass here, especially too, when you have a lot of wide receivers that are very, very talented that are still here on the board.
Remember to think for everyone listening, think bigger picture too, because when we get to those rounds with everyone you talked about, Dave Montgomery, Elijah Mitchell, Kyler Murray is also still there, who has literally QB1 overall outcome in his range of production. So like, think bigger than just, I need a running back. Think right. Every position. We're trying to score the most points still. It's fantasy football.
Right. Yeah, when we talked about that tier of running backs, they all went right after my pick of DJ Moore at the 4-8. DJ Moore is your wide receiver 3 on your fantasy roster, I feel like is fantastic. Now, we don't know Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. We don't exactly feel super confident in that, but we know that the target volume is going to be there for DJ Moore. If we can get just a slight uptick in production from the quarterback position with Baker Mayfield this year, DJ Moore is going to be a top 15 guy there for you. So DJ Moore there at the 4-8. Then we had J.K. Dobbins, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Elijah Mitchell off the board there. I'm back on the clock here at the 5-5. I'm going to take a look at that running back position and the guy that I am moving up my rankings above Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Elijah Mitchell is still there at the top of the queue. A.J. Dillon. Dillon here is a guy that I think is going to see an uptick in work this year. He is going to be the potential goal line back here in this offense. And when we have the need for Aaron Jones to be moved around the formation as a receiver, or maybe even A.J. Dillon is going to be that guy that is involved more as a receiver out of the backfield, he's going to see enough work to return RB2 production, which is where I've got him on my roster. Then if we get the upside of Aaron Jones, and again, we don't want this to happen, but if Aaron Jones misses time with an injury, I have A.J. Dillon as a potential top 10, top 5 fantasy football running back in that offense. So Dillon here at the 5-5, he's one of my favorite picks here in the 5th or 6th round of drafts. All right, you're on the clock here at the 5-9.
This is where I start playing the default rankings against everyone. And for instance, Mike Williams is the wide receiver 13 on Underdog, but in this draft, he's going to go as the wide receiver 21. And so I'm just taking advantage of knowing the ADP dip everywhere, since Underdog, again, half point scoring. This mock draft, we're doing half point scoring. I'll take advantage of that. And since we just talked about this, I am doing that yet again, and I'm double tapping on the comeback here, Brandon Cooks, who I actually have as a top 20 receiver this year. Yep, and so too. I'm getting him at a discount according to both ADP and where he goes in this draft.
I love both those selections there, and I feel like they complement one another really well. Mike Williams, that upside. He might not have the most consistent production week in and week out. We saw that last year where he came out on fire and then really dipped down as the season progressed. But then also Brandon Cooks is going to bring you just consistent, safe volume. Might not have the upside just due to the state of the offense there, but he's going to see a ridiculous target volume week in and week out. Love that pairing there of Mike Williams and Brandon Cooks at the 5'9 and 6'4. I'm on the clock here at the 6'8. Looking back at the running back position just to see who some of these guys are at the top of the board. We got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kareem Hunt, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary. I think that you could take a shot on some of these guys. I'm going to see what the wide receiver position looks like here. So we got Amon-Ra St. Brown, Michael Thomas, Adam Thielen, Darnell Mooney, Juju Smith-Schuster, Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis might be where I go here. And then looking at the quarterback position, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I am going to go back here. Michael Thomas, I think, could easily return to top 24 production here. But I think Gabe Davis, you talked about Stephon Diggs at the 1-9. Gabe Davis is the wide receiver 2 in that offense, going off the board at the 6-8, a guy who I have high hopes for this year. I'm going to get him here as the wide receiver 4 on my roster, off the board at the 6-8. All right, back on the clock here at the 7-5, looking at the wide receiver board, Rashad Bateman, Drake London, DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks. We're into that point now where, okay, I'll take a look back at that running back position here. I'm going to go Tony Pollard, but I also got Ezekiel Elliott. I need to start loading up on some running backs here. I've only got 2 on the roster, 4 wide receivers. I will go Tony Pollard here because I do think that they're, with the plan to move Pollard into the slot, I do think that Pollard can move into some flex consideration here. So as an RB3 on your roster, I'm not in love with having both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, but Pollard does present the upside if something does happen to Zeke. And also I think he does push into the flex conversation, low end RB2, if he is going to be involved as a receiver in this formation here. So Tony Pollard off the board at the 7-5. We'll start to hammer some running backs here in the mid rounds. You are back on the clock at the 7-9.
I could go one of the contingent running backs with upside, like a Kareem Hunt, like a Devin Singletary. I'm higher on Chase Edmonds as well, but I don't mind playing the waiting game, knowing that I still have confidence in a lot of other backs behind them, and instead dipping into the wide receiver pool here. And I'm between, this is the range. I'm going to actually dip a little further here. So I have Kadarius Toney ranked higher than the other guys here. Drake London, Treylon Burks, Elijah Moore. I know it was only weeks 4 through 6, but we saw Kadarius Toney still finish 4th among all wide receivers in target rate per route run. And knowing that the argument isn't even for Daniel Jones or Brian Daboll. The argument is you need to pull up the Giants secondary depth chart and look at it. And you try to tell me that this team won't be going 4 or 5 deep at wide receiver and having to throw the ball literally every single week. And so given Tony's talent, hopefully we get him for a handful of games more than last year. I want to be in on the Giants offense, Daniel Jones included, this season.
All right, Kadarius Toney there at the 7-9. You are now back on the clock at the 8-4.
There is a lot of volatility in this next pick. I understand that. But even in a 1QB league, now that I have my flexes sorted out, I think I can still wait another round for the next group of receivers to come back, even if it's like Marquez Valdes-Scantling that I end up with. And so I'm going to jump over everyone and take a chance on Trey Lance.
I like it.
There's a lot of volatility in Trey Lance. I should note that, because you look at their offensive line. Their left guard played only 5 snaps last year. Their starting center is a 2016 undrafted free agent. And their right guard is their rookie from this year, Spencer Burford, who actually was drafted in the 4th round and played left tackle in college. So he's transitioning altogether. There's a real chance, I'm not kidding, that this team not only goes under their 9.5 season win total, but just fails altogether because the core isn't in place. But I believe Kyle Shanahan can make up for that. Also, I think Trey Lance is ability to run the ball is still too good to fail. It was only 2 games last year, but 12 carries per game in those 2 starts. And so if we take Trey Lance, we need to be higher and go ahead of ADP, knowing that top 5 isn't his range of outcomes, even though that range of outcomes does admittedly include like outside the top 12 too.
I think for Trey Lance to finish outside the top 12, like the wheels completely fell off of the 49ers offense, right? And you're saying like there's a possibility of it. And of course, for really any offense, there's the possibility because things just went completely wrong. But for Trey Lance, with the rushing upside that you mentioned there, And then the creativity, we even saw that here with that touchdown in the preseason game to Danny Gray. You know, like we've seen that the big playability is absolutely there for Trey Lance to compensate for some of that. And if the wheels do fall off, that means a little bit more pass attempts here for this offense. It could lead to kind of making up for that as well. So Trey Lance at the 8-4, I absolutely love that. Here at the 8-8, I went with a guy who the days are gone of getting him in the 10th or 11th round of ADP, which is where I was consistently saying that you need to be drafting this guy all offseason. Went Damien Pierce here, the rookie running back for the Houston Texans. Pierce showed out in his first preseason game, and the hype train has been leaving the station in Texans camp here. They are saying that if, you know, John McClain, just recently on Twitter said, you know, if the Texans aren't putting Damien Pierce on the field week one, they're not putting out their best lineup. Right. So it sounds like we're going to see Pierce here sooner rather than later. And I'm willing to take him here as an RB4 on my roster in the 8th round. Now, if we start to get his ADP rising even further than that into the 7th, 6th round, I think that's a different conversation here. But that value point is still there for Damien Pierce to be a key contributor for your roster, see ridiculous volume this year in Houston. I will gladly take him here at the 8-8. I'm back on the clock at the 9-5. We're going to go with the guy who we talked about early on this in this episode here in the news section. I'm going to go Michael Carter. I said hammer the running back position here. Michael Carter, that difference in ADP between Breece Hall and Michael Carter should not be as drastic as it is. Where did Breece Hall even go off the board in this draft? I'm scanning. I don't even see where he went. I will find
it.
Was
he the fifth? He's right here.
Oh, 4-7. 4-7. All right. There it is. So the 4-7 there and Michael Carter going off the board at the 9-5. That's a drastic difference there for guys who I think are going to have at least a little bit closer of production here than I think a lot of people realize. So Michael Carter is an RB5 on your roster, I feel like is great value. All right, at the 9-9, you are now on the clock.
In the Michael Carter range is also all these other running backs. Ramondre Stevenson, Isaiah Spiller, Alexander Mattison, Daryl Henderson, Rashad White that we know offer contingency value at the very least. And so I'm actually going to pass it up since I'm at the end and not take a stance and know that one will come back to me since we don't know the outcomes of these players. And instead I'm looking at a receiver here and either Robert Woods or Christian Kirk. There is a chance. I don't want to buy too much into the camp hype, but Treylon Burks was a very volatile prospect anyways, even being 6'2", 225. Like it looks salivating like a Christian Watson, but the judgment by us fantasy people in general was unfair because it's a player. If he hits, we know he is, could explode and lead the league in receiving, but also he's a player who could definitely fail, especially as he learns to play NFL football in year one, since all he did, especially as a senior, was run more gadget routes from the slot and get the ball underneath. So I am going to go Robert Woods here and take a chance that he leads the team in targets. Remember, AJ Brown maxed out in Tennessee with 106 targets in a season. Like this is a system that does not cater to its players. The players have to cater to Mike Vrabel's system.
Yep. Yeah. I think Robert Woods is a great value, especially like once we know, or once we got confirmation that Woods is going to be back on the field week one, and he's going to be out there. Now that value point for Woods, who could easily be the wide receiver one in this offense from a target share perspective, we know the talent level is still there. He's not washed by any means. We saw that last year. Still think he can be a key contributor. Now, does he have top five upside? Absolutely not, but he can be a solid flex option for you if any one of those other wide receivers that you've invested in has, missed his time there. All right, looking at your roster here, you got Stephon Diggs, Michael Pittman Jr., Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks, Kadarius Toney, Robert Woods at the wide receiver position, Saquon Barkley and Travis Etienne at the running back position, though. Are you looking at running back here at the 10-4?
I am, and as you mentioned, I have two catalyst running backs, but I'm still going to need touches here unless Barkley and Etienne can get me by weekly. And so I then have to ask myself, do I strictly want a player I don't expect to have many touches at first and hope he breaks out, or am I comfortable going a player who has touches but may have a lower ceiling? And so I'm actually going to lean that latter direction and go Daryl Henderson here. The reports are that he's splitting first team reps in camp. I'm not sure if I believe that so much, but I do know that I expect this offense to change. In Matthew Stafford throwing 80% of the Rams' touchdowns last year, 80% of their touchdowns came through the air. Stafford also a career high touchdown rate. And so I don't expect that to continue. I expect it to naturally regress. Like I don't believe Stafford will throw 13 touchdowns on 19 throws inside the five again, or right, five touchdowns on seven throws at the goal line again. So I'm hoping that we regress and fall forward with running backs for more touchdowns. Thus, I'm just trying to get a piece of that regression.
All right, Daryl Henderson there at the 10-4. I'm on the clock here at the 10-8, and I need a quarterback still at this point. I have not drafted a quarterback, but also as I look at that board, at the board, you've had a couple of teams here that have drafted two quarterbacks, and I like that Sleeper does this, where they throw in some of the like little wrinkles here, where in your actual home leagues, you're going to see that. You're going to see someone take Jalen Hurts at the 6-6 and then Dak Prescott at the 9-7 like Team 7 did here. So you're going to see some of that. Now, as we look at the top available options there at the quarterback position, it's Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Tua, Justin Fields. I'm not going to draft a player here. I'm not going to panic and say, okay, well, and now I got to get my guy. I will wait. I will wait until one of the last rounds and see who is still there for me. Looking back at the wide receiver position, though, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is still here on the board for me at the 10-8. I've been saying all offseason that this is a fantastic value point for MVS. Now, if MVS becomes the wide receiver one for Patrick Mahomes, he has an expanded role versus what he saw in Green Bay, then, man, that 10-8 is going to look absolutely ridiculous at this time next year. If he still just remains in kind of the role in production as we saw in Green Bay, where he is a volatile kind of asset, where he's getting that deep target, 18.2 ADOT last season, like if he maintains that kind of role, he's still going to have value for your fantasy roster as a flex option, right? We got two flex spots here where I can insert MVS and get those big boom weeks. I can get those big performances. And if it, you know, he doesn't work some weeks, okay, it's a flex spot. But at least if he does have the upside there to grow into that wide receiver one role, now we're talking about a guy who could be in that wide receiver two conversation for my lineup week in and week out. So MVS, I really don't view any downside to drafting him here at the 10-8. On the clock at the 11-5, we're looking at Christian Watson, Michael Gallup, Jarvis Landry at the top of the board here. Looking at running back, Ronald Jones, Nyheim Hines, Rashad White, Tyler Allgeier. I am going to go Nyheim Hines here. We're hearing a ton about Nyheim Hines as a receiver this year. We're talking about Jonathan Taylor potentially having a lesser workload. Now, that is not going to move Jonathan Taylor off of that 1-1 in rankings for me, but Nyheim Hines could see work as a receiver in this offense, very similar to what we're talking about with Tony Pollard, right? Where Nyheim Hines, when you have some concerns and questions about Paris Campbell staying healthy, Nyheim Hines has shown that when he gets the ball, he can be effective, he can be efficient, and we're hearing more than just one or two reports that Nyheim Hines is going to see more work this year. So I'll take the shot here on Nyheim Hines at the 11-5. When I went with Zeke and A.J. Dillon as my top running backs in the first five rounds there and loaded up on some solid wide receivers, throw multiple darts at the running back position here. And that's what I'm doing with Tony Pollard, Damien Pierce, Michael Carter, Nyheim Hines here at the 11-5. All right, you are on the clock at the 11-9.
Knowing that, again, it's another tier drop off of a running back, I was looking at Rashad White. You took Nyheim Hines as well in this range. So I think the last player genuinely in this tier is Kenneth Gainwell. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on this, knowing he has receiving upside, the receiving role as he did last year with the same coaching staff, but also he stumbled. It only took one injury last year, and this is a team that doesn't have Jordan Howard anymore, but it only took one injury, and those were the three games with an injury ahead of him that he had double-digit touches. So yeah. I think it actually doesn't take much for him to get into that range, and we could argue, honestly, his ceiling may be higher than Miles Sanders if all goes right. So I'll take Kenneth Gainwell here.
Yeah, I think Gainwell as an RB4 on your roster where you get him, for that upside, you know, if all things go correctly, you don't have to play Gainwell, right? You're letting him sit on your bench. But if he does get that increased workload with a Miles Sanders injury, again, we don't wish that to happen, but we got to talk about it, then Kenneth Gainwell could be a guy that you instantly insert into your lineup as a flex option or as an RB2 in bye weeks, and you're going to get some good production there. All right, at the 12-4, you are now on the clock.
This is where the George Pickens hype has landed after he absolutely dominated the preseason. I'm also still, well, you know, I was saying I was avoiding tight end, but I didn't realize David Njoku's still here. And he is genuinely, him and Albert O are the only two players I break for in redraft leagues around this range. Because out of Irv Smith, Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, Hunter Henry, Cole Kmet, like even Pat Freiermuth, no one can tell me that those players are in line to either sustain their production from last year or break out as a 26-year-old freak athlete who just got paid the fourth most guaranteed cash his position is. Everyone is pushing Njoku down the board because Deshaun Watson's not available, or as I would say, Kevin Stefanski's system that hasn't changed for its talent anyhow has targeted tight ends at a top four rate in back-to-back years in his first two seasons coaching this team. And so I want to be on – again, the freak young guy on a second contract who I expect to get peppered targets and could actually potentially lead this team in target share.
Yeah, I think it's in the range of outcomes, right? And I think a lot of people are, you know, a little bit of scared off of David Njoku, like you said, with Deshaun Watson and that whole situation. But Jacoby Brissett, like, he can target players over the middle of the field. And when he locks onto someone, he locks onto someone. So if that player is David Njoku, at least the target share is going to be there. Maybe not the upside. Maybe not. He's not going to score 8+ touchdowns on the year. But at least the target share will be there. And you get him here at the 12th in the 12th round. All right, at the 12-8, I don't know what this league is doing here, but they are just drafting quarterbacks like nobody's business. So I think we're finally at that tier break for me. I'm going to go Justin Fields here at the 12-8. Get that mobile, that kind of that cheat code, Konami code quarterback there. Do I think it's going to be pretty here in Chicago? No, I'm a Bears fan. I do not think it is going to be pretty here in Chicago this year, but at least that rushing ability is there for Justin Fields to fall back on. Last year, even in an abysmal offense with Matt Nagy, he was continuously finishing as a top 10 quarterback in fantasy when he was healthy. So take the shot on Justin Fields here. If it doesn't work out, I'll pivot. Maybe that, you know, becomes a Jameis Winston that I can pick up off the waiver wire here. Or who knows, maybe someone in this league is going to draft a third quarterback because they are quarterback thirsty. All right, here at the 13-5, Khalil Herbert went off the board one pick before mine. I would have loved to grab Khalil Herbert there. I view him as kind of that last guy that has ridiculous upside and could also be in the flex conversation week in and week out at the running back position there. At the wide receiver spot, we got guys like Jacoby Myers, Devontae Parker, DJ Chark, Jalen Tolbert, Mecole Hardman, Alec Pierce. I will go a little bit down the board here, though. Alec Pierce is tempting. I think that he is worth a shot here in the final few rounds here. And I talked about this on a live stream that I did last night over on the YouTube channel. But when we get into the final three rounds of your draft, take upside. Any of these guys, any of these three guys are ones that you should be willing to cut and move on from week one or week two for the hot waiver wire ads. So any of these guys, if you want to take Alec Pierce and you find out week one that he's not the wide receiver two in this offense or that he's not seeing a significant target share, cut him. Move on. Move on for one of those guys that is going to step up. But I will go for the upside here with KJ Osborne at the 13-5. A little bit further down the board, we're going to see the Minnesota Vikings offense run a lot more 11 personnel this year, three wide receiver sets, which means that Osborne is going to be on the field. And if Adam Thielen goes down with an injury, which we kind of have to bank on at this point, just at the point of his career where he's not able to stay healthy for all 17 games, KJ Osborne could be a guy that pushes into that top 30 wide receiver conversation. So I feel like he's a name that is in this territory where he kind of gets overlooked and a lot of people are not willing to, you know, draft him here. I will gladly take the dip in the ADP here. Go KJ Osborne at the 13-5. All right, you are on the clock at the 13-9.
I think this pick sells itself based on who he's going around, because if you look at in this range of wide receivers, DJ Chark, Jalen Tolbert, Mecole Hardman, Alec Pierce, you also have Devontae Parker improperly here, who is going to be in every down. He is the team starting wide receiver. Remember, this offense averaged 32 pass attempts per game. If you exclude the one tornado hurricane game they played against the Bills with three passing attempts on Monday night that evening. So Devontae Parker, for some reason, is getting jammed down around ancillary receivers when he is a starting wide receiver one.
I think you look at a lot of these other options here. You know, you're not finding a wide receiver, really a starting wide receiver. Mecole Hardman, do we know that he's a starting wide receiver? I would argue against that. Alec Pierce, maybe. Sammy Watkins, I'm not drafting Sammy Watkins. So the only concern that I have with Devontae Parker this year is, and I'll just mention this quickly, like, there's so many mouths to feed in that offense as far as the wide receiver core. Like, Devontae Parker, I wouldn't be shocked if Bill Belichick does at the wide receiver core what he's done at the running back room for several years, which is just like rotate through these guys. Okay, depending on matchups, we're going to rule Devontae Parker out this week as a starting X, or then the next week it's going to be Tyquan Thornton out there as the X and Devontae Parker's, you know, on the bench. So that's the only concern I have. At the 13-9, though, it's worth the shot, worth the investment there to find out what you got. At the 14-4, you are now on the clock.
You talk about only taking upside in the final rounds. There is no one who has more upside in this range than Isaiah Pacheco. Yep. And I understand the camp hype has gone crazy, but it's been warranted. Look at the profile and remove the camp hype. A 4.37 40 to get the combine at 6 foot, 215 pounds. Just start there. There you go. Remember that also explosiveness from the backfield is what the Chiefs running backs lacked all last year.
Yep.
Isaiah Pacheco can bring it. And then you look, add into the first preseason game where Pacheco played three snaps with Patrick Mahomes and also is the team's primary special teams kick returner. So he's going to be active every single week. Whereas Ronald Jones, who is Pacheco's competition, didn't play over either Pacheco or McKinnon in that order, played with the second team offense, average or had four carries for 1 yard, did not break a single tackle, and also missed on a pass block that actually led to that sack where Shane Buechele lost 12 yards in the second half. So overall, yes, I genuinely don't even think Ronald Jones makes this roster, and we want pass-catching running backs with Patrick Mahomes. It's that simple.
Yep. Again, 14-4. Take the shot on Pacheco. See what you're going to get. And it's going to be interesting, too, to see how high this, you know, buzz for Pacheco pushes him up the board. In 2 weeks, are you going to get Pacheco here at the 14-4? I really don't think so. So at least at this point, take that shot, though. Find out what you got. And if he isn't the starting guy, if he isn't seeing work, and it's 100% Clyde Edwards-Helaire in week one, well, at least you know what you have, and you can move on from it if necessary. I will stick with that theme, though. The upside. Let's take the shot here with Romeo Dubs at the 14-8. Sure. Romeo Dubs, I was not necessarily super high on coming into the NFL draft. Did not think that he was going to be a guy who would step onto the field and see significant work in week one of his rookie year, but it's trending that way. He is dominating training camp. He looked great in the preseason here, and there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for him in this Green Bay wide receiver core to step in and be a main option here. And Aaron Rodgers is singing his praises, and that is something where it catches my attention. So worth the shot. Again, with that theme of you're going to find out very quickly what you have. Is Christian Watson starting? Is Sammy Watkins starting above Romeo Dubs? Okay, week one, week two, cut him. Move on, pick up that hot waiver wire ad. You're going to find out. But if he is the starting wide receiver and he shows out in week one, week two, you got to steal at the 14-8. All right, here with the 15-5, my final selection. I still do not have a tight end, and especially when we got into the Noah Fant range and Tyler Higbee range of drafts, I said I will wait until that final round. Here at the tight end position, take a shot on a guy, move on from him really quickly if he's not a main option there for you. I'm going to go Hayden Hurst here, though. There has been significant buzz about Hayden Hurst here in Bengals camp. And we saw last year, CJ Uzama had several weeks of, you know, production here, of consistent production for your lineup. And I think Hayden Hurst is a talented receiving tight end who has just kind of been buried in different options that he's went, right? You had Mark Andrews above him on the depth chart. Then you had Kyle Pitts above him on the depth chart. So Hayden Hurst here, going to be the starting tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals. Buy into a good offense here. And that's kind of the same thing with Gerald Everett, who went off the board two picks later. Either one of those guys, final round of your draft, if you completely punt the position, just invest in guys in good offenses and see what you can get there very early on. All right, at the 15-9, you are now on the clock with your final pick.
I also say, you and I know, in redraft leagues for everyone, one quarterback, one tight end. Make sure you use the final spots on the players. Like you said, we can cut. Pretend as if you're going to start your quarterback and tight end in week one and that they will make an impact. And that's why not only Hayden Hurst and Gerald Everett, but I also draft Mo Alie-Cox in the very last round of the 16-round redraft leagues. Jack Doyle vacates 20 tight end routes per game. And out of camp so far, we know Kylan Granson was a below-average prospect to begin with, but also didn't make an impact whatsoever in his rookie year. It was basically the second or third tight end. And now we have reports that Jelani Woods also, who's a freak athlete, but might as well be playing linebacker. Like, he is struggling immensely in the NFL, which we fully expected. There is no competition for Mo Alie-Cox in a week one game against the Texans. So I'm drafting Alie-Cox in the last round as if I'm going to start him as my tight end one, and as if he'll be a top 12 tight end. I'm getting ahead of it. I think I got auto-drafted just now. Yep. Sorry about that.
No worries. We knew who you were going to draft. It's the final pick. Doesn't matter.
Yes, I was going to take Isaiah McKenzie.
Okay.
In the first preseason game, Isaiah McKenzie got healthy scratched with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and Dawson Knox. That literally tells you everything you need to know. Right. Whereas Jameson Crowder started and not only played with Case Keenum, but also dropped a pass that led to Keenum's interception. So McKenzie is going around this range of third wide receivers. When he showed us in his last two starts for Cole Beasley, 25% target share. You should be drafting McKenzie in every single league.
I love that call. A guy who is pure upside at this point of drafts. It's shocking that his ADP is still here. And I think if we do see the starters at any point on the field here in the preseason for the Bills, maybe that third preseason game or whatever, maybe the second one, whatever, then I think that's where we could see McKenzie's ADP start to skyrocket. But at this point of the drafts, take advantage of the dip. Isaiah McKenzie, pure upside at the final round of ADP. All right, John, that'll do it for this one. Man, what a draft here. Let's run through your team here. Go ahead and list off your draft as it went out and how you feel about this team.
I think it went really well. I like doing redraft leagues because, you know, we take place in so many sharp underdog or high stakes FFPC that you forget that redraft leagues are the Wild West and just fun. And it's possible to fill out your roster with players like that we have been on since mini camps. And so I'm pretty happy. Again, I think it varies whether you go anchor RB, starting heavy wide receiver, like all that is pragmatic. Like just play what the board gives you. But I ended up with five running backs when, you know, maybe even four can suffice in redraft leagues, knowing I'm going to cut probably my last few picks. And I have receiver depth in Devontae Parker and Isaiah McKenzie. So I could either flex running back or wide receiver with this build. So overall, I'm actually fairly happy with my team.
All right, for me, I went Justin Jefferson there at the 1-5, then Zeke, T. Higgins, DJ Moore, A.J. Dillon, Gabriel Davis, Tony Pollard, Damien Pierce, Michael Carter, MVS, Naheem Hines at the 11-5, then Justin Fields, K.J. Osborne, Romeo Dubs, and Hayden Hurst there in the final round. In the mid rounds, right, if you go that wide receiver heavy, you got to hammer some of those running backs there. Take the shot on multiple guys and throw darts. Hopefully one of them hits for you, where you can be a consistent option there for your lineup and make up for the lack of running backs that you took in the earlier rounds. And that's what I did with Tony Pollard, Damien Pierce, Michael Carter, and Naheem Hines. I feel confident that at least one or two of those guys is going to emerge as potential top 24 running backs this season. All right, John, that was a ton of fun, man. I appreciate you carving out some time here, coming back and immediately jumping on after the expo. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on here and where they can find and follow more of your work?
At NotJDaigle on Twitter, and all of my work can be found at 4for4.com. Team previews will come to a close this week. They're also being updated every single day for camp news, not to mention my players I'm targeting most from round 13 on. So my favorite flyers article is up by the time everyone is listening to this. And we will have, I mentioned exploiting default rankings. We will have those for sleeper included by Friday at 4for4.com. So check it out there. I'm a friend. You're a friend if you're listening to Kyle and myself. So use the code Daigle10. It gets you 10% off of our pro sub. So do that. And Kyle, genuinely, keep up the amazing work. You put your foot out there in the off season and just started your own thing on a whim, not knowing what was going to happen. You took a major risk, and it's clearly been successful so far. And there's no doubt in my mind you will only grow from here. So keep up truly the amazing work.
Thank you, my friend. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much for carving some time out and coming on, dropping some amazing knowledge here heading into the 2022 fantasy football season. All right, remember to enter into that Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey giveaway courtesy of Pristine Auction. Head over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details on how to enter. It will take you less than 5 minutes, and you could walk away at the end of this month with a Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey. All right, that'll do it for John Daigle. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.